You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
Briefly, let me make sure I follow your thing too here. Okay, Terry's back up. She's going to talk in a little bit more in depth than I did last month about small group benevolence. You got the microphone over here? Thanks.
We just want to be intentional in loving and caring for our sheep, the people that God has placed in this body. And we as leaders want to make sure that everyone is loved and cared for. And the majority of people are loved and cared for by our small groups. So there's the small group leaders and then the people in the small groups, which is awesome. And so there's some that are outside of that. And so we want to make sure that nobody falls through the cracks. A few years ago, we had a mommy who had a baby and never had a shower. And men, a shower is not like, you know, getting in the shower like instead of the bathtub. But a shower is where you get presents and you get honored and loved on. Didn't have a shower. I didn't have any meals given to her, and which is like, it killed me. It's like, what? It fell through the cracks. And so we just have, determined that that won't happen. And so we need everybody's help. If there's a pregnant mommy, we've got some in here, or somebody getting married, or even we have somebody who's a family who's really sick, or someone who's having surgery or something. We want to make sure that they're appropriately cared for. If they need meals, we want to provide meals. And, of course, that starts in the small group. If you're in a small group, that would be the first line of defense to do that, and visiting them in hospitals and stuff. But let us know. If you know of somebody and maybe for some reason it has slipped us, then I would ask you to email or send a group email or a group text. Always include Kim Mendler. Don't tell her. Don't just say, oh, by the way, so-and-so is pregnant, or by the way, so-and-so is having surgery on this date. But send her an email or a text message and include one of the elders' wives or one of the elders if somebody's in the hospital or needs prayer. Because we just want to be intentional about making sure that people are loved and cared for. And, of course, you know, when the baby, their first visit here with mommy and daddy is their debut. And so we want to be able to announce the baby. And so Kim is always texting me in the back. Okay, they're here for the first time. So so I wasn't here last week. Did Walter or Philip make their debut? No. Okay, so that's coming. So watch for that. Okay.
Walter or Philip.
So we also have somebody that is doing cards, sending cards, like somebody's in the hospital or having surgery or they're really sick or someone has died in their family. We have a new card ministry. And so if you know of somebody who doesn't have something to do, maybe somebody in your groups that are new, and that would be their gift, is they would love just to write a card and write a verse and send a card, then let Kim know by email or text message. And she'll hook them up. And then we also want to be intentional and preventive in the way of accidents and in the way of safety on our campus. So we've had a few incidents lately, and I'm so glad that we have nurses and paramedics and all that stuff to come to our aid when we have falls and there needs to be stitches, but we need to clean them up first and notify the parents. So lots and lots of things. So let's be all hands on deck. If you see a situation that is an accident waiting to happen, then lovingly, respectfully, kindly go to that child and say, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to climb on the roof. You know, but everybody take responsibility just to, you know, see things that are going to happen. And we want to keep this place a safe place. For all the years we've been here, there's been very, very few serious accidents or injuries on our campus, and we want to keep it that way. So everybody take responsibility for that. Let's prevent that. And then we need a quick response, a quick notifying of the parents, keeping the kids, you know, whatever needs to happen in the emergency before the parents take them off. So, whoever is a witness needs to write up a report. So we're going to come up with a form that we will have available. All Westside Kids leaders will know about this form and where it is. It'll be available. And then all parking lot attendants, there can be a report written up just so that we have the information. If there's any questions or concerns, we have that. So thank you.
I really appreciate everybody doing their job. Gideon in the Judges, it said Gideon and his 300 men, it said each man stood in his place. So that's what we're talking about tonight, is standing in our place. And this church is actually on the doorstep of our next move. For years we were knocking on 400 regulars at Westside. Now we're knocking on 500. And so sometimes this group here, including me, our thinking is Westside, you know, our family, like this kind of like. But there's a whole lot of people that are not in this room that aren't quite as connected as we are. And we have to be very, very intentional about communication. We have to be intentional about excellence. We have to be intentional about just getting stuff done. Like, why can't we just tell Kim? Because 100 people are telling Kim every week. And poor thing can barely crawl out of here on Sundays. Sorry, I didn't mean to call you a thing. But I have 6 out of 10 things of Asperger's. There's one of them right there. So I have excuses the rest of my life. So, all right. Okay, so we're just on this thing. Just seriously, if there's 20 people in the church and Cousin Lulu is up here singing off key, nobody cares because everybody loves Cousin Lulu. She's not hindering worship. But if you got 400 people and Cousin Lulu's off, then she's not, people don't know her, and now she's actually hindering worship. Does that make sense? Without being ungracious? We all have to make that mental shift that God has called us to impact a little bit bigger sphere, and we have to move, we have to grow with it. And it's not right or wrong, it just is. Big churches aren't better than little churches, and little churches aren't better than big churches. It's just what God's call is on you. And so that's God's call on us, and so we need to grow with the church there. So thanks everybody for doing those kind of things. All right. Another thing, just a quick thing about money. Last week I talked about money in small groups. The church administration, Patty and Kim, and we don't have time to administrate every small group benevolence project. So let me give you some examples. If you personally give someone $20 for gas because the Lord told you to, don't run it through the church. Just give them the $20. Does that make sense? If your small group takes a little collection for somebody who needs groceries, say $100 is collected between the whole group, you know, don't run that through the church. It's just too administrative intensive. If your group collects $20,000 for experimental cancer treatment in Uruguay, just don't even do that, please. Don't do the things like that. All right. Here's the one that's on the, you know, all those three were easy. All right. Here's one that's not easy. Three people in your small group give $300 each to somebody in the group for a new stove. So three people say, can we give $300 to this family? You know, they need a new stove. That's on the dividing line. And things like that have happened here at Westside. They're low key. People don't want to advertise it. Things like that. So, yeah, if somebody in the small group will take three checks for $300 and bring it into and we'll put it into benevolence. See, if you give a check for benevolence, or if you say, I want this to go to Mr. and Mrs. Jones, and it has to go to them, then you don't get a tax deduction. That's the IRS rules. When you get a tax deduction, that's because you gave a gift with no strings attached. All right? So you can request that it goes to the Mr. and Mrs. Jones, to the church. But the church doesn't have to do it. I'd like to say this, that in 15 years I've been here, not once have we ever not given it to somebody when they requested it. So that's fine. But it just, when we start creating lots of little projects for things, generally if people are just contributing a little bit, just administrate it within the small group. Please don't run it through the church. But if it starts to get to be larger amounts and things like that. So use your judgment there on that. And if you have a question, just ask Joe. Joe oversees benevolence. All right? Okay, moving along. Last month we talked about team. We got to get along. We got to work together. God commands a blessing and unity. And our vision is to build a strong, healthy local church where people are passionate about Jesus and so on. So that's all for last month. We have 8 minutes left for this month. All right. Just a note to all teachers, Sunday school teachers, anybody in the church who uses any building or any room, if you're the last person in there and you're a leader, make sure the windows are shut and locked. Make sure the doors are shut and locked. Make sure the AC is shut off and the heat is shut off. Make sure the lights are shut off. Make sure the door is locked. All right? It's your, and the blinds are closed. You shut down the room. If you're the last teacher in there, if you're the last anybody in there, like say the women are going to go to, the women's ministry team is going to go to the conference room tonight. When they leave, that all has to be shut down. All right? So that it's a big job. On first Wednesday, everybody's responsible for shutting down any building that they are in. I'm responsible tonight for shutting down this building. On Thursday nights, Patrick and Kimberly are in charge of shutting down the property. So it makes it way easier if everybody does their job in shutting down their rooms. We don't have full-time custodians here that will go, you know, work till 3 in the morning and make sure everything is done. So if we all work together, that's great. And Tyler does it, shuts down everything, checks everything on Sunday after church. All right? So we could all work together on that. And if you're a deacon or an elder, you can get a key. If you don't have a key, you can get a key and you can get the code to the alarm system. All right. Okay. Now, we have 6 minutes. Oh, one more announcement. Saturday night is What's My Type. And if you've been to it before, I guarantee you'll benefit by going again. You don't have to go again. This isn't one of those, hey, everybody has to be there. It's very valuable. If you know somebody, say their marriage would really benefit by coming, then bring them. This is one of those opportunities to outreach. It's an opportunity for your small groups to come and just have a fun night for free. It's great. It's very good information. And every time you go, every time I do it, I study some more and I learn more bits of information for it. But what we need you, say again, the whole purpose is to understand the differences in other people and to appreciate those differences. Yes, ma'am. There's no child care at that event. Six to 8:30. There you go. Here's the announcement. Please bring some food, snacky type food, like finger food. It's during dinner time, but there's no dinner served. So things that you can eat that aren't just junk. Yes?
I didn't really see a sign up. And so I guess my question is,
there's no sign up. Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, yeah. We could. It would be totally fun with 40 people here. It'll be fun with 140 people. So, I think the most I've done it with is about 400 at a time. So this is great. Okay, stir it up. Paul says to Timothy, In 2 Timothy 1:6, here's the verse out of the New King James. Therefore I remind you, Timothy, to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Each of you has a gift. And Paul evidently was encouraging, we don't know what was behind that, but he was encouraging Timothy to not let that die out. It hadn't died out because he could stir it up. Like you stir up a fire, stoke a fire, that's what it's talking about. All right, the embers were still there, but it needs to be stirred up. Keep that thing hot. Keep that thing burning. Keep that thing going. You have a responsibility, Timothy, to administrate the gift that God gave you. The parable of the talents. Like Jesus talked to the people and told the story about the talents. The king is going to come back and say, what did you do with what I gave you? That's exactly what that's talking about. In the New Living Translation, and actually most of the modern translations say fan into flames, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands upon you. So does that make sense? Stir it up, fan it into flames, get it going. Yeah. Don't let that gift die. God gave you that gift. Do not let it die. You're going to have to give an account to him for that. That's the charge. This was a serious charge. It was an encouragement from Paul to Timothy. So this is my word of exhortation to you tonight. It doesn't take a half an hour to go through this. This is, I believe this is a word from the Lord for us as a church. Stir it up. Stir up the gift that God gave you. And so what are those gifts? You can look in Romans 12. You'll have to write these down. Romans 12, there's seven motivational gifts. Those are gifts from the Father to his children. There's exhortation and prophecy. We have a handout on this. We'll make sure that it's in the back this Sunday. Prophecy, mercy, leading, serving, teaching, exhortation. There's seven of them there. That's just kind of the cloth that you're cut from. Then there's gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Those are gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy, discernment, tongues and interpretation, miracles, healing, all those things, those are gifts from the Holy Spirit to his co-laborers. And then you have gifts in Ephesians 4. Those are the five, what we call the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Those are gifts, those are people gifts to the church for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. So there's all kinds of gifts that God gives. There's other gifts that he gives you, talents and abilities that you were born with. Maybe a musical ability or athletic ability or homemaking abilities or industrial arts or just whatever it is. Those are your gifts. So I'm going to give you just a couple minutes to write down, without being proud or arrogant, just being humble before God, thank you, God, for giving me these gifts. I know I'm good at this. And right, there's a space down there to just write down what your gifts are. I'm going to give you a couple minutes. All right. As leaders, as the core of Westside Church here, you should have a good handle on the things that you're good at. You're all good at something. Some of you have gifts that you were born with. Some have gifts that you learned and multiplied. Some of you, or all of you, have gifts that are imparted to you spiritually. When your hands are laid on you and prophesied over, or prophetic words spoken over you, those are things that were imparted to you. So, the next one, the question number two is, what is my passion? What's my passion? What really lights your fire? What really gets you going? You can ride 100 miles on your passion, but not on your irritation. If you're passionate about something, it amazes me when I'll talk to Ian. He goes, oh, yeah, I just went out and ran 30 miles Saturday. And then he walks in church. He's just like this the next day. It didn't even faze him. He just loves it. Or Patty. Her passion is running. And so people love to do things. And it astounds me. Money's not an object. Time's not an object. Their energy is not an object. They love it. In fact, it infuses them. It encourages them. It makes them come alive. That's your passion. And so in Numbers chapter 13, you're going to need to read this, 25 to 33. That's when the 12 spies went into the promised land. Remember, they came out of Egypt. They spent a little time in the wilderness to get the law, to get some things settled, to see the Lord moving. And they're ready to go in and take the promised land. It's only about an 8-day journey from Egypt to the promised land. Walking, yeah. So they took 40 years. So they had been out there a couple months because God wanted to teach them a few things, etc. So now they're ready to go in the promised land. And they sent 12 spies in. They'll go in, look around. They see huge abundance. It is indeed a land flowing with milk and honey. But they see giants in the land, and they see walled cities, and they're terrified. But they come home, and two guys carrying one cluster of grapes between them on a pole. Two guys with a pole on their shoulders with a huge cluster of grapes coming back in. And so all the people see this, and they tasted the fruit of the promised land. And that represents their future, their promise. You have a future. You have a promise. You have tasted it. You've seen it. God's given you pictures. Maybe it's you sitting down with a Bible study of ladies, or witnessing to your friends at work, guys, or laying hands on the sick and seeing them get healed, or building a business that finances Kingdom Ventures, or whatever it is. You've seen it. You have a future and a passion and this promise that God has given you. And so in Numbers 13:30, the people were all whining and complaining because the 10 spies said, no, we can't take this land. Joshua and Caleb said otherwise. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let us go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. He had faith in Almighty God. He had a passion about seeing God's promise come true. And it was no problem. No giant, no walled city, no adversity, no amount of anything. This isn't just a, hey, you know, just suck it up and we'll do this. No, what we want to do is see people take their gifts and their passion and then take those and go serve in the kingdom. Because you can fly with that. You can go forever on that. If you're just doing something out of drudgery because it's duty and this kind of thing, then for heaven's sake, train somebody up where you're working and get out of there and go somewhere where you love. And so, that's the word. Have you seen your promise? Have you had a taste of it? Maybe you went on a missions trip once and you saw God work in ways that you'd never seen before. So this is the question, really. What is my passion? Yes, Jesus is your passion first. So we put that one down. And yes, your family, you got to earn a living, those kind of things. I'm talking about what's your passion? So there's one thing there. Remember Curly? He said one thing. All right, what's your passion? You can put another dot there and put two if you want. But just think, what is your passion? What just makes you fly? Fly, fly, fly. Turning the nitro switch on. What does that? We did this exercise at our elder retreat a couple weeks ago. I did it too, as well. And when I wrote it down, not once did I even, it didn't even cross my mind. Photography, running, a lot of things. But my passion, I said, thank you, Jesus. I am in my passion. I'm doing what I love to do. Like in one sentence, my passion is to help people take their next step in Jesus. If they don't believe in God, maybe lead them to believe that there might be a God. If they think there might be a God, believe in the God. If they believe in God, believe in Jesus. If they believe in Jesus, make him Lord of their life. They've made him Lord of their life. What's their next step? That's what I love doing. Love it, love it. We don't want a tired, worn out leadership here at Westside. Faithful is great. But I don't want people dragging faithfully into the kingdom. I want them running across the finish line. Does that make sense? I think it's a word for us to consider. If you don't know what your gifts are and if you don't know what your passion are, I am dead serious. Take 3 days off of work, go somewhere, hunker down in a motel or up in the mountains, and get on your face before God and find out what they are. We don't want just a bunch of gifted people overworked. We want everyone in their place. Some are very, very faithful and very servant-hearted. And they're doing great in one area, and then they're asked to do another area, and it's like, oh, like this. And Tyler and Kylie know, and Patrick and Kimberly know, and I talk to people, you know, recruiting and getting people in to serve in their place, and I talk to you guys as leaders. If you see somebody in your group that's not serving, they need to be serving, they need to be connected. That is true. But we don't want good people doing 80 things, being worn out. And we're kind of like an amoeba. We don't have a flow chart here at Westside. Just think of an amoeba. It's constantly moving and growing. And we've got a whole bunch of worship people, so our worship is strong. We're kind of low here on administration. We're just kind of low on that. That's just who we are. And so we want to pray in these areas and have people fill in where they love to do, what they love to do. And then that becomes the DNA of our church, who we are. I'm so excited about our church. I'm excited about Westside. I'm excited about you. But I want you to go the distance. I don't want people to wear out. Some of you leaders are looking at me and going, like this. You need to talk to me next time we meet, guys. Next time we meet, tell me where you're at and what you want to do. And so I'll tell you what I see in you and what I see you powering in. And we'll do what we can to make sure that you're unhindered. Yes, we have family chores. That's just a little bit, but most of what we do should be our passion. I don't want us to just wander around. I want us to go into the promised land. I want you to go into your destiny. I want you to go into where your passion is, to take your gifts and your passion actually able to do that. So, amen? Yeah. Amen. I hope that sparks you. I hope that this is just gets you started between you and the Lord. Spend some time with the Lord over this next while. Here's what I'm asking from you. The elders have almost all done this. I would like you to share with me an email, steve@westsideinfo.com. Please send me an email. Tell me what your gifts are that you wrote down, and tell me what your passion is. Tell me what, if you feel like you're doing that or not. I really want to be praying for you and praying with you, okay? All right? Would you do that? I would appreciate it very much. I'm not going to come down and track you down, but I'll be with you if you'll share that with me. All right? Okay, we love you guys. Father, thanks for this night. Thank you for each one here. I pray that you would really encourage us tonight to take that gift that you gave us, to fan it into flames, to stir it up. Thank you, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless.